Welcome to this week's edition of the OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show. Now from Columbus, here's Marty Bannister.
The 2022 Ohio high school football season began back in August with 711 teams suiting up for a run at winning records, conference championships, and playoff berths. This past Sunday, 448 of those schools were announced as qualifiers for the 51st annual Ohio High School Athletic Association football playoffs. Welcome to this week's edition of the OHSA Football Playoff Preview Show. I am so glad to be back with you talking high school football. I'm Marty Bannister, and we thank you for being with us for the next 30 minutes as we set the scene all across Ohio for this week's playoff games. In this week's show, we'll talk with OHSA football administrator Bo Rugg about the football playoffs, and we'll get reports from around Ohio to set the scene in your region. A reminder that all playoff games during the first two rounds are on Friday nights, and all games kick off at 7 o'clock unless otherwise noted. Let's step aside, though, before we get things underway for these messages from the Ohio High School Athletic Association. When we return, we'll get you right into our conversation with Bo Rugg. You're listening to the OHSA Football Playoff Preview Show.
Everyone knows chocolate milk is delicious, but who knew chocolate milk was a noteworthy source of nourishment? It's packed with essential nutrients. Who knew chocolate milk was an exceptional source of energy? Plenty of protein and carbs to fuel and replenish. Who knew chocolate milk was a remarkable way to rehydrate? Water and electrolytes to replace fluids. When you're active, chocolate milk is a delicious way to nourish, energize, and rehydrate. Choose chocolate milk.
Hey football fans, now's the perfect time to rush to Canton to visit the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Located only a short drive away, the hall provides experiences you can't get anywhere else. Enjoy the Super Bowl Theater, the Game for Life holographic experience, interactive displays, one-of-a-kind memorabilia, and lots more. The hall is open 7 days a week, so what are you waiting for? Get off the bench and get into the game. Tickets are available right now at profootballhof.com.
Spectrum News One, a new kind of news channel dedicated to refreshing storytelling and empowering communities across the Buckeye State. With your local forecast every 10 minutes and all of the essential news you need 24/7. Plus, in-depth shows and exclusives focused on your community. Always Ohio, always refreshing, always on. We are Spectrum News One, exclusively on Spectrum.
This is what matters. This is beyond X's and O's. This is the difference mutual respect makes. This is what character looks like. This is what defines us in Ohio. This is sportsmanship. School sports, it's not the outcome that matters most, but the way the games are played. This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Welcome back to the OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show. For the OHSAA Radio Network, here's Marty Bannister.
And we welcome you back to the OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show. I am Marty Bannister. We would like to thank all of our show sponsors, including the OHSAA Radio Network, which will broadcast all seven football state championship games live from Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton, December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Tickets are on sale at OHSAA.org/tickets. Last week, we caught up with the OHSAA's football administrator, Bo Rugg, to talk about the high school football season in Ohio, as well as the upcoming playoffs. Bo joined me as well during the regular season on my podcast on Yamo Media, Ohio Football Weekly. It's always a pleasure to talk high school football with Bo Rugg from the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Bo, when the playoff field was expanded to 16 teams per region prior to last season, many folks tended to only look at whatever negatives they could find in something like this. But I think the positives far, far outweigh any negatives you could try to dig up about this expansion of the playoff field. One of those I'll reference to is a school in the area where I do a lot of work, and that's Huntington High School, a Division VI school, Bo, with about 27 kids on the roster this season. They suffered numerous injuries prior to the season, which cut their roster down to about 26 or 27. Well, they managed to get into the playoffs. They are a number 10 seed in their region. They finished at 5-5, and in the 50th year of their program, they got into the playoffs for the first time in a full completed season. And that's certainly, when you overall look at this, that's, I think, where the positives to expanding to 16 teams really come to the forefront.
It does exactly underscore what this is all about. We have a lot of teams like that. It's a building block. Yeah, you get in at 16 and you're not going to, not many are going to win that 16 versus one. We did have one last year, but the fact is it's a building block. How do I build on success and I'm better the next year? And I think we lose sight of that sometimes because we look at those games and we say, well, it's not good because those games were lopsided. The fact of the matter is it's a good thing and it's a building block.
Have you seen teams, I don't know, for lack of a better term, Bo, maybe schedule a little tougher now knowing that with 16 teams per region, the chances of getting in are much, much better?
Well, that has been our theory since the start, that it will help scheduling. And we have some schools in Ohio, it's tough for them to get games. In all divisions, it's not just the big schools. It's some of the very competitive and successful, the Marion Locals and the Kirtlands, they have trouble finding games also. And so we're hoping that this will help that. I think it's helped somewhat, but again, what's the mentality? The mentality is also, I want to be in the top eight. I want to be in the top four so I can host at home. So there's still jockeying going around on searching for points, as we call it in the Harbin ratings.
You said hosting, and that was one of the big aspects of a change made in the back in the first two rounds of the playoffs, where the higher seed, once they advanced, and certainly in the first round, but if they advanced to the second round, they got two home games out of this, and that's been the second year that that's been in effect, and I think that's something that's been very successful as well, too, for the playoffs.
It is, and our coaches association came to us and said, you know, those teams that are hosting the first 2 weeks are used to hosting on Fridays. Can we play these games on Fridays? And I'm sure. That really helps us in our scheduling as it relates to officials, because we have a number of officials that do Saturday games at the Division III level. And so it really helps us on Fridays. And we'll have some exceptions, but for the most part, we're on Fridays, and those two games they get to host at home is a big deal for them.
Communities rally around those games, and two extra games, let's not miss the boat here. I mean, there is a financial aspect of it as well, too, and nobody's shying away from that. But again, when you look at the benefits of that for teams and for communities, it's a great thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and when you talk about the financial benefits, it's not just for the tournament receipts that we get. Is we're told by somebody that likes to host games for us. If they get a big crowd, their parking and their, Doug likes to call it popcorn money, concessions and those types of things, they're getting in that $10,000 to $15,000 range for a game. That's pretty good when you think about it for the school and the community and the booster clubs. So it's a lot of people benefit from that, and that's what we like about it.
Getting past the first two rounds, you go to the regional semis, and everything goes to a neutral site at that point for schools. Talk us through the process of that and selecting sites and what you look for when you decide that when you reach out to schools who may want to host a game.
Yeah, it's complex, to say the least, and this is the sport where we have to get the most sites, especially that first week is 56 sites. You know, it's a combination of many things. I like to think, and especially as we go later, regional final and state semi, it's all about the site, period. The site has to be accommodating and perfect and good. It is about the site in all the way through as we do neutral sites, but geography plays a big role early on. And it's about total travel rather than just you're going an hour and a half, so I have to go an hour and a half. It a better site could be you're going 45 and I'm going 25, but it's between us and it's a really good site and the total travel is good, that if we're both going an hour, the total travel is 2 hours there. The total travel here is an hour and 5 minutes. And that's a big thing. That you're traveling more than 30 minutes more than the other school isn't a big deal, because you're still on a bus. You still have to load up. You still have to get there. That extra minute is not a big deal. It's a big deal if I'm not traveling at all. That's the key. And so, you know, we look at those factors as we look at the sites. Certainly the capacity has something to do with it. We haven't been on a grass field in, I think, 10 years in our neutral site hostings. And we have some good grass fields out there. But the fact is, it's Ohio. And our schools would say, I want to be guaranteed that if it snows or rains Thursday night, that I know what that surface is going to be like. And so that the surface is a big deal. And can it accommodate the people that are coming?
Another aspect of this that's so often overlooked, and again, this is something I know you and I have discussed. I've discussed it with Doug Ute, Tim Street. You go down the line, you have to find schools that are a willing partner that want to host these games. You can't just say, well, London, you've got this game. If they say no, then you have to find someplace else to go. That's a big part in all this.
Correct. It's a big part, and it's we're getting more and more that are willing to host, and that's a great thing. But one of our bigger issues is I have a willing host, but they're also a good team. Mm-hmm. And we have a handful, but not very many, that say, we'll host whether we're playing or not somewhere else. And I understand if they don't want to host, they're playing somewhere else. I want them to go support their team somewhere else. So, but we get that. I mean, some of our best sites, I mean, Wapakoneta is a great site. You know, Upper Arlington is a phenomenal site. And they're a good team. Again, they're going to go deeper, could go deeper. And so those are the things that it's like, oh, man. And I always joke with the superintendents. I actually said it to my friend, the superintendent at Upper Arlington, and he said, are you going to put games here? I said, you know I'm putting games here. I said, I just don't want to get into that situation where I'm hoping for you to lose, because I want games here. And we laugh about that, but it happens like that. We've got some really good sites in different places that can host any game. But there are times when they just can't host because they're playing. And we have to live with that.
And I know that's one of the concerns, and there's really not much you can do in this regard. We go back to the first and second rounds. Sometimes there are some sites that it's difficult to accommodate. The press that comes in, the fan bases, the videographers, everything that comes with it, that makes it kind of difficult in those first two rounds. But as we touched on earlier, again, I think that does work with the teams hosting, but you do run into those early on, don't you?
We do. You know, the biggest thing for us right now is making sure the site has the ability to host the teams. And we've had some situations in the past where we've had to rewrite some things because the locker rooms are under renovation or XYZ. You know, you have to be able to do that. Now, at the end of the day, if I'm on a grass field and it's raining, that is not a reason not to put the game there. Right. We've played football in the mud for 100 years. It's not a big deal. It's actually, people say, is it safe? Actually, you can say it's more safe. It slows the game down. But the difficult thing in playoffs is that people don't get in regular season is being able to host everyone else. Media is one. I mean, I've got more media coming, mm-hmm. and people don't realize how many media we have coming to our state championships. It's crazy. I mean, football and wrestling and the size of the media area is huge. Basketball, mm-hmm. That you don't think about that, but when you're talking about really literally hundreds of media, it's different. And so in a big game, it's tough for a school if I got 20 media people that want to come to this game when I usually have three,
right?
And that's just it's a tough thing for our administrators to work through as they go through that. It's exciting, but it can be some challenge.
You mentioned state championships in Canton once again at the Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. I've said this on the air a number of times. I don't think there's a better site for these games, for these state championship games. Everything you just talked about, available and ready to go. The community's excited. They love these games. I think it's a win-win for all involved, isn't it?
Yeah, I definitely think that. I look at the good people at Canton and the Hall of Fame Village and the Hall of Fame. And this is, it's interesting. They have a pretty big event in August that is the Hall of Fame ceremony and the Hall of Fame game. This is like their second biggest event. And they do concerts and they do some stuff, but they put that type of effort into it. And that really means a lot to us. And it shows. It shows the people like you and other people that go there. So, yeah, we're real excited to be there.
It is always good to talk high school football with Bo Rugg. Now let's allow our local stations to share a few messages from their local sponsors. When we return, we'll hear from radio announcers around Ohio and get previews of all the first round. It is always good to talk high school football with Bo Rugg. Now let's allow our local stations to share a few messages from their local sponsors. When we come back, we'll hear from radio announcers around Ohio to get you ready for the playoff games that start on Friday. You are listening to the OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show.
The year was 1907. The Chicago Cubs won the World Series, and the Ford Model R hit the assembly line. While here in Ohio, school administrators came together to form the Ohio High School Athletic Association. A lot has changed since 1907, but not the dedication of the OHSAA to education-based athletics in Ohio. School sports teach responsibility, sportsmanship, and life lessons that stay with students long after their playing days are over. Since 1907, the OHSAA seeks to prepare students not for the next level of sport, but for the next level of life.
What do basketball, choir, drama club, and marching band all have in common? They're all high school activities that offer learning opportunities not necessarily found in the classroom. They take up just a fraction of a typical Ohio high school's budget, and they go a long way to giving young people the tools they need to thrive. High school activities, they're more than extracurricular. They're extra important, too. This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
I've got a math question for you. When you add tolerance, subtract prejudice, and multiply efforts to treat one another with respect, what do you get? Less division. And school sports have it down to a science. Looking for an example of what can happen when we realize there's more that unites us than divides us? Look no further than high school sports in Ohio.
This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
How do you define strength? Is it physical?
Hot, hot!
Or is it mental? Maybe it's both. Maybe it's whatever empowers a person to dig deeper, fight harder, and overcome obstacles that once seemed insurmountable. Discover how much stronger and more confident your children can be. Encourage them to participate in a sport when they go to high school.
This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Welcome back to the OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show. For the OHSAA Radio Network, here's Marty Bannister.
And we welcome you back. And now it's time to break down the first round of the regional playoffs across Ohio and get regional reports from radio broadcasters. A reminder before we go into our reports that all playoff games in the first round are on Friday night and all games will kick off at 7 o'clock. Let's start looking around the state of Ohio at all the games that are going to kick off on Friday. And first, let's start in South Central Ohio. And we bring on our friend Chris Solwicki.
Thanks very much. In the South, we begin in Division III, Region 11, is number 11, Chillicothe, who finished the season 7-3, 3-2 in the Frontier Conference, travels to London for a rematch of Week 2. That one was at Chillicothe, and the Cavaliers came away with a hard-fought 27-24 victory. This one is at London, where the number 6-seeded Red Raiders finished 7-3 and are looking for payback in Week 1 of the playoffs. The champions of the Frontier Conference this season were the Jackson Ironmen, finishing the season with a 7-game win streak, a perfect conference record at 5-0, and an overall mark of 8-2. That resume gets them number 2 seed in the Region 11, and a rematch from Week 6 against Miami Trace. Jackson got the W in that first matchup, 49-28. Moving to Division 5, Region 19, number 1 Ironton finished first in the Ohio Valley Conference, went undefeated throughout the regular season. In fact, get this, this class of seniors at Ironton went undefeated in league play for their career, not a single loss in the OVC over the course of 4 years. That's impressive. Ironton faces number 16 Minford in a first-round matchup. Number 6 Wheelersburg was the state champ in Division 5 back in 2017. They're in the playoffs again this year, having finished the regular season with a record of 7-3. Their first hurdle of another playoff run is number 11 Heath. The Bulldogs finished 6-4, but won four of their final five games, and at one point played a three-game stretch during which they outscored their opponents 136-6. And in Division 5, Region 20, we find the champs of the Scioto Valley Conference, the Zane Trace Pioneers. They're the number 4 seed in the region. They will face Cincinnati Clark Montessori in round 1 action. Zane Trace was undefeated in regular season play for the first time since 2015. There will be plenty more exciting matchups throughout the Southland. Taking a game near you this weekend for the OHSAA Playoff Preview Show, I'm Chris Solwecki.
Year in and year out, the Cincinnati region produces some of the best high school football across the state of Ohio. And year in and year out, no one does a better job of covering that high school football than Mike Dyer from WCPO.com.
The road to Canton begins Friday night for 54 Greater Cincinnati high school football teams, including four number one seeds. In Division I, Region 4, Moeller will play host to Hamilton. The Crusaders are the number one seed for the second straight season after being a state semifinalist in 2021. Moeller is making its 38th playoff appearance in its storied program history, and the Crusaders are going for state championship number 10. In Division II, Region 8, undefeated Winton Woods will play host to LaSalle. The Warriors just completed a 10-0 regular season for the first time in program history going back to 1991. Winton Woods, which won the 2021 Division II state championship, has won 19 consecutive games. In Division III, Region 12, undefeated Baden will play host to Woodward. The Rams just completed a 10-0 regular season for the first time since 1980. Baden, which has a 28-game regular season win streak, is 41-6 overall since the start of the 2019 season. In Division IV, Region 12, undefeated Wyoming will play host to Waverly. The Cowboys earned a seventh consecutive Cincinnati Hills League championship this past Friday. Wyoming has won 67 consecutive regular season games, and the Cowboys are the number one seed for the second straight season. For the OHSAA Radio Network, I'm Cincinnati WCPO-TV reporter Mike Dyer.
Hey, get your day started each and every morning in the Akron-Canton area on WAKR Radio. And now he gets us started with our coverage of Northeast Ohio. Here is the morning show host, the one and only Ray Horner.
Well, when you look at high school playoff teams in the Akron area, Divisions 1 through 6 have teams alive and well. In Division 1, a good matchup will be Elyria at 5-5, taking on a Wadsworth Grizzly football team at 6-4. Wadsworth has played a high-level schedule, and they'll have a home game. In Division 2, yes indeed, Archbishop Hoban there again. They'll host Willoughby South this coming weekend. Hudson's 10-0 with a home game. I think a real good game in Division 2 is Maple Heights at 6-4, taking on the Warriors of Walsh Jesuit, maybe under the radar. Walsh Jesuit 8-2 on the season. And don't rule out Tony Gatto's Barberton Magic football team. High-level schedule. They'll host Cleveland Rhodes. Division 3 matchups also Norton 8-2 home against Bay Village. And in Division 4, a highlight game has Buchtel and Woodridge colliding. Division 6, yes indeed. The Mogador Wildcats, home at 8-0, will take on Southeast. I'm Ray Horner for WAKR Radio in Akron.
Scott Ward joins us now from Greenville radio station WTGR, where we will get a preview of defending Division 5 state champion Versailles, as well as the rest of West Central Ohio.
On the west side of the state, three Dark County schools have made the playoffs. Defending 5 state champion, the Versailles Tigers, now in Division 6, the Division 6 Tri-Village Patriots, and in Division 7, the Ansonia Tigers. Versailles, as the number 4 seed, will host National Trailblazers. Number 3 seed, Tri-Village, will play host to Cincinnati Deer Park, and Ansonia in Division 7, the number 1 seed, will play host to Cincinnati Riverview East Academy. In Mercer County, Division 5, Coldwater, will play host to Richmond North Union. The number 16 seed, Anarockets, will play the Marion Local Flyers, number 1 seed, for the second time this year. In Division 7, New Bremen plays Cedarville. Minster will host Fort Recovery. Fort Laramie of Shelby County plays host to St. Henry. And Delphi St. John's will travel to Lima Central Catholic. This means 9 out of the 10 MAC schools will be playing this week. This is Scott Ward WTGR 97.5 for the OHSAA playoff preview show.
Scott, thank you very much. Now to Kirk Richards, who previews defending Division 6 state champion Cary, as well as other teams from that part of the state.
The Cary Blue Devils, the reigning state champions in Division 6, enter this postseason as the number one seed in Region 22, and they are riding a 25-game winning streak. The Blue Devils haven't lost since week one of last year, a 30-15 defeat to Hopewell Loudoun, and it's a loss that Cary avenged in week one of this year, en route to a perfect regular season record and a second straight Northern 10 Athletic Conference championship. The first round contest for 10-0 Cary is at home versus 5-5 Riverdale of the Blanchard Valley Conference. This will be the Falcons' first visit to Wintling Field in 9 years. Meanwhile, Hopewell Loudoun of the Sandusky Bay Conference also is competing at Region 22. The 8-2 Chieftains are set to host Cary's N-10 rivals from Attica, the Seneca East Tigers, who are 7-3. In 10 power, Colonel Crawford also is competing in Region 22. This is Kirk Richards for WYNT-FM, Magic 95.9, for the OHSAA Playoff Preview Show.
Friday nights for high school football are big in Central Ohio as well. He hosts the Scoreboard Show on 97.1 The Fan. Here's Ryan Baker.
Of the 448 teams that made the postseason this year, 61 of them reside in Central Ohio. That group is led by three teams that are number one seeds in their region. At 8-2, Dublin Jerome is first in Division 1 Region 2. 9-1 Gahanna Lincoln is the number one seed in Division 1 Region 3. And despite having two of their first three games of the season canceled, Newark Catholic went 7-1 and is first in Division 7 Region 27. Other top four seeds in the area, 8-2 Upper Arlington is number two in Region 3, followed by 7-3 New Albany and 7-3 Pickerington Central. In Region 7, 9-1 Westerville South is the third seed, and Watkins Memorial is the four at 8-2. In Region 11, 9-1 Bishop Watterson is the third seed. 8-1 Columbus East is also a three seed in Region 15. 10-0 Harvest Prep is the only undefeated team in the area, and they are second in Region 19. The Warriors are also one of six defending regional champions in Central Ohio, and all of them return to the postseason this year. The other five are Upper Arlington in Region 3, Granville in Region 11, Bloom Carroll in Region 15, although the Bulldogs have moved up to Division 3 Region 11 this season, West Jefferson in Region 23, and Newark Catholic in Region 27. And a feel-good story, 6-4 Thomas Worthington not only had their first winning season since 1999, but is hosting a playoff game for the first time in program history. The 8-seeded Cardinals take on 9th-seeded Hilliard-Bradley in Region 3 this Friday night. With high school football overtime on 97.1 The Fan, I'm Ryan Baker, and that's it for the OHSAA Playoff Preview Show.
Ryan, thank you. That will do it for this week's look at the first-round playoff reports from across Ohio. Let's step aside for a few messages from the OHSAA, and then when we come back, we'll wrap up this edition of the OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show.
School sports need your help. With budgets getting tighter, it's more than the games that are on the line. It's all the traditions, the community pride, the culture of your hometown high school, plus all those memories that are on the line too. What can you do? It's simple. Buy a ticket when you can. Go to a game. Take the whole family. Let's do everything we can to keep those cherished school sports memories alive.
This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
The game is over, but this time, instead of asking how many goals did you score or what were your stats, try asking these questions. Were you a good teammate? Were you coachable? Did you give 100%? And did you have fun? Because those are the values that school sports instill in Ohio's young people, where winning and losing are secondary to the life lessons that will stay with kids long after their playing days are over. This is the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Educate through sports.
Practice hard, you play hard, you're always reaching for your goals. You reach for the next point, the next yard, the next win. And after the game, reach for low-fat chocolate milk. It has the fluids to rehydrate you, the right mix of protein and carbs to refuel you, and the vitamins and minerals to help you build strong bones and bodies. Fuel up with chocolate milk. For more information, visit drink-milk.com.
Welcome back to the OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show.
For the OHSAA Radio Network, here's Marty Bannister.
Before we wrap up this week's show, a reminder that complete statewide playoff brackets are available on the OHSAA website at OHSAA.org, along with the football playoff histories of every school in Ohio. Looking ahead to the state championships, all session tickets are on sale at OHSAA.org/tickets. That includes a special ticket package with indoor access in the stadium club during and after every game. This Friday night, Spectrum News 1 will televise 3 first-round games. In Northeast Ohio, it's Elyria at Wadsworth. Central Ohio has Hilliard-Davidson to Grove City. And in Southwest Ohio, you'll be able to watch Cincinnati St. Xavier and Fairfield. Those are the featured games on Spectrum News 1. In addition, 12 games will be streamed live by Spectrum at OHSAA.tv. In our next playoff preview show, we'll go inside the regional quarterfinal pairings and talk with OHSAA Executive Director Doug Youth. And don't forget to check out YamoMedia.com for clips and highlights from my podcast, Ohio Football Weekly, as well as all the great content available on YamoMedia.com. On behalf of the Ohio High School Athletic Association, I'm Marty Bannister. Our executive producer is Tim Street. The OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show has been a production of the OHSAA Radio Network.